You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The New Zealand Transport Workers Unions, ITF, have raised issues with a situation in Fiji where 20 Filipino seafarers were recruited and then promised monthly wages, which were not paid, and then were left stranded in Fiji without passports. Now, the company has helped out a little bit, but not enough, and there has been a number of human rights abuses. And I talked to Paul Tillock, from the chair of the ITF New Zealand National Coordinating Committee, and here is the conversation we had. And I started off by asking about what human rights abuses had occurred.
If you read the statement we put out, it's quite clear that people aren't being properly paid, right? They are not being paid on the contract that they were originally engaged in. They've had their passports taken off them. They have been sacked because they have wanted to go and inquire with a union in Fiji about their situation. They are also been in a situation where they've been left in a country where they have been given no assistance by the company who has sacked them, and who has also withholding pay to them. So they're in a situation where they have been brought to a country, and the deal that was signed, the contract, hasn't been honoured. And they're in a situation also in Fiji where Fiji doesn't have laws which covers other than the residents, you know, and citizens who live there. So if you're brought, brought into a country to work, none of their industrial relations laws covers those workers. So they're being, you know, exploited and had no civil or industrial rights to be able to enforce.
So does this mean that the Fijian government has no responsibility to look after these workers?
Well, the Fijian government, after the ITF and others getting onto them, have finally started to have a look at and investigate it. But yes, they do not seem to treat people who come in and work in the country. They treat them differently from their own sins because the law doesn't cover from them.
And what responsibility does New Zealand have when it comes to making sure workers are protected in the Pacific as a major Pacific country?
Well, we're just our request to the government is to raise the matter with the Fijian government to point out, in terms of the region, this is not the way that you should be treating workers that come into your country to work. So it's, I suppose, a moral and diplomatic sort of position we're asking them to, to express diplomatically in their dealings with the Fijian government. But I think it's just we're wanting to raise the question that in our region we do have, because some quite exploitative labour practices. The International Transport Federation represent workers all over the world in transport, and one of the areas that there's a lot of exploitation goes on is in foreign seafarers being employed in countries, and then when they get to the country, the agreement isn't as they originally agreed to, and there's no measure of enforcement.
So in this situation, it's a single group of workers. How likely is there other groups of workers who are in the same position or even worse positions?
I would say that it's a great likelihood. You know, that is what is, there's a great likelihood there'll be other examples of this. This is just one that we've come across. We have inspectors all around the world, the ITF, that keep an eye at them, and they're in Australia, New Zealand, and places in Asia. They deal every day with the exploitation of foreign seafarers.
So when it comes to the protection of seafarers, what needs to be done when it comes to, say, international ocean and sea laws to make sure that they are protected and that exploitation isn't happening?
Well, if the companies are signed up to some of the ITF crewing agreements, then we are able to, when those ships come to places like Australia, New Zealand, Singapore and other places, we can often enforce the ITF crewing agreements that they have with the big major shipping companies, but when you get off in ferries or local shipping, sometimes that's not covered. It really is just governments to have the vigilance to make sure that they are using their local laws to cover seafarers where they're not covered by international crewing agreements.
So when it comes to seafarers and those who could potentially get into situations where they are being exploited, are there any particular demographics that are most at risk?
Third world seafarers are often exploited that come from third world countries. But it's a very broad question to ask, where it is a situation where a lot of seafarers from third world countries put on what they call flags of convenience, and a flag of convenience is where the ship is probably registered in Liberia or in Panama and carry those flags. So often their legislations aren't as good as the first world and the OECD countries.
Are there any other comments you'd like to make?
I think the most important thing is that seafarers are, because they are out in the oceans and they don't come in to a port very often, are probably some of the most exploited groups workers. And wherever we see it, we try and call it out and try and get them represented, because most of them are a long way from home and they are not close to be able to approach agencies. So that's why they do it often in the country that they first arrive and go to shore. So I think it's just people being aware of even in the 21st century, the just continual exploitation of working people by unscrupulous employers, which unfortunately there are have been and continue to exist quite a number of those. It doesn't cover all the shipping companies nor all employers, but there just seems to be always unscrupulous people who exploit workers. It's one of those things. That's why unions exist and union federations. Continual vigilance against this sort of behaviour. And when we see it, we call it out.
Is there anything that, say, myself or anyone else who's not a part of the shipping industry or seafarer industry can do to help support people who are potentially getting exploited?
Join a union, because if you join a union, most of the unions do belong to international federations, and some of our fees go into supporting those international federations. So join a union that's affiliated to the CTU, that's affiliated to one of the international transport federations. There is a number of unions, the seafarers, the waterfront workers, the aviation workers, ITU, we all belong to it, the ship's officers, the aviation engineering union, ITU, which is aviation, and we have a lot of people who work in that in those sectors, and we all belong to an international federation that works internationally to represent the workers in those areas. So unions are as needed today as they ever have been, and they need people of good conscience and good social concerns and understanding to join them, even if you just join them as a solidarity member because you'd like to contribute a small amount of work to the welfare of others.
So that was Paul Tilloch from ITFNZ talking about some of the concerns around human rights when it comes to seafaring.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.